This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're talking lawns and gardens. Obviously, this is the time of the year to be putting out trees and shrubs and doing things like that. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. Mitchell Mote is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. He also brought Jan Becker with him, and she manages the farmers market. They have some exciting things happening at the farmers market. We'll be telling you more about that. Mitchell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
You survived. You got home, and you were not eaten or damaged since last week's broadcast with those ferocious creatures that were up here with us.
No, we made it fine, and haven't seen any evidence that that they are on the prowl. I think that Dwayne did a good job of containing them, and I'm sure he's released them back into the wild where they belong.
A little bit scary at moments, but that's part of the fun of radio.
Well, it is. If you don't take some risks, you just don't live life to the fullest.
That's right. And you brought Jan Becker with you. I'm not sure how that fits with that sentence.
I don't believe it fits in there at all, but that's a good way to get off the subject. Yeah, this is Janie Becker, and Janie's our farmer's market manager out at the farmer's market at the Lane Agri Park, and she's got information about some changes, I guess, something new in the market this fall. So I'll let her speak to that.
Tell us about that.
Good morning. This year we have a new extended season starting this Sunday, November 6th. We'll be open on from 2 to 5 Sundays up until December 18th, the week before Christmas.
Great. Jane, you turn the microphone a little bit where it faces right there toward you. And talk into it like it's your best buddy there. Tell me, you usually think about with the winter season, there's nothing really that grows real well, but I understand there are a lot of creative farmers in the area. Tell us what they're offering starting
Sunday. There are several plants that, several vegetables that can still be grown well past frost. Some of your greens and your sweet potatoes that you've harvested, they can be held past frost. Winter squash, a lot of herbs. There's several of our vendors have greenhouses and use row covers to protect plants from frost and can get an extended season through that.
So you mean we might even see tomatoes?
There's a possibility in the first couple of weeks. Some of our vendors still haven't experienced a hard frost, and they've got some green tomatoes and some that might be coming on. So
with the greenhouse, they sort of create their own atmosphere.
They have a better chance.
Yeah. Right. There are limitations, but they can be pretty effective with it.
And so that's this Sunday and every Sunday up until right before Christmas.
Correct. And of course we also have lots of things that aren't vegetables that are farm products, such as eggs. We'll have some meats.
I hadn't even thought about that.
We'll have baked goods and canned goods. We also have things like, we have a vendor bringing fresh chestnuts with the firewood to roast them on. As we get closer and closer to Christmas, we'll have vendors that normally do bedding plants and mums throughout the rest of the year. They're also going to be bringing poinsettias and amaryllis, paper whites, things that you can use for gifts, and even some that I've been told are going to bring mistletoe, and we have a Christmas tree vendor from Walter Hill. So we should have quite a variety for our customers.
Honey? Maybe have
honey,
some honey?
Absolutely. Yeah. We do have some honey vendors coming. We have some people who make their own soaps using homemade herbs and other products. So quite a variety. And we also will have some music, making it a little bit more of a festive environment in the afternoon.
There's really a lot goes on, or can go on, in a farmer's market this time of the year. And I think this will be an opportunity that the people of Rutherford County haven't had within the county up until this point. So I think it'll be good. It's a change, and I think that folks can take advantage of some things there.
Good place to take the family on Sunday afternoon, sounds like.
Well, it will be. I just wonder if the chestnut vendor will also have instructions for roasting chestnuts, because I wonder how many people have ever roasted a chestnut.
They do.
I wouldn't know.
We've sung about it, but I have never.
I've never tried one, and I don't know how to start.
They provide recipes and instructions, and so I think it'll be a. There's a how-to for it. You don't have to guess or search on the internet.
And Jenny, don't a lot of the vendors provide that kind of information just part of their just
that's the beauty of
marketing,
the farmer's market,
because they will give you directions on things that you haven't used before and how you can use them and so on. That's good.
Very occasionally I'll ask a vendor what something tastes like, and they say I can't stand it and my wife won't cook it, but that's a rare occasion that occurs. Most of the time they have a wealth of knowledge on the best way to prepare, the best way to grow, any issues that might come up. So you get to face-to-face with the person who knows them best.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
All right.
Good.
I've got a question.
Okay.
I've got some holly bushes and a couple of southern magnolias and maybe some pines I need to plant. And how much longer have I got to get those in before it would be too late?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's supposed to start raining here any time, so I'd hurry up, try to get them in this morning before it rains. But no, really... I don't know that you've got a time limitation on it. It obviously, it's hard to dig when the ground's frozen, and you're not going to have much root development taking place when we get into those temperatures where the ground is frozen and so on. But the good thing is we don't have usually extended periods like that. November, the entire month, is generally a good time to put out woody ornamental plants, just like you described there. Basically, as long as the ground isn't frozen, you can do that. It's just easier to dig, and it's just easier on you. But the clock may be ticking a little bit, but it's not ticking real fast.
Does that help you out? I guess it does. He got so happy.
He took me at my word
and
went out and started digging.
8-9-3
it'd be a good time to do it before the rain sets in. That way you don't have to worry about watering so much.
But now you can, I guess, transplant, put in new trees, shrubs, bushes, things like that for a pretty good while, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
As long as the ground is not frozen.
Yeah, you can. You can. Again, the month of November is a good time to do that. And can you do it in December? Sure you can, but if I had my druthers, I'd get them in now and go ahead and let what root development take place that can take place during the winter months.
You have so much good opportunity for rain. In fact, rain's in the forecast today, so that's a whole lot easier to let Mother Nature do the watering.
Oh, it is. And if you look outside, if it doesn't rain today, it looks like it's going to miss a really good chance.
It's looking serious. I mean, it was sunny there a few minutes ago, but as I look out now, it's getting a little darker out there. 893-1450 is our number if you have a lawn or garden question, or if you have a question about the farmer's market, the extended farmer's market that starts this Sunday. If you haven't been to, obviously none of you have been to it, because it's brand new starting this Sunday. But it's an event. From what Janie has described here, it sounds like it's going to be a sort of like a party atmosphere.
I mean, that's the plan.
It sounds, music playing. You have live music. You have people who are offering all sorts of things like handmade soaps. You have fresh eggs being offered, chestnuts, roasting by an open fire.
We also have a demonstration this Sunday. Our restaurant Five Senses will be there, cooking with several of some of the seasonal vegetables, and handing out samples. And customers can also come in to register to win a free dinner for two at Five Senses worth $75.
Wow!
So that will happen this Sunday, and also the first Sunday in December if you mark your calendar for it.
And you mentioned also that a lot of herbs and spices will be offered that are grown by local farmers, and so that's an opportunity, and that's a good way for the people over at Five Senses, who obviously know what they're doing in that area, the culinary area, to show us how to use these herbs and spices.
Right, they're big supporters of the market, as are several restaurants. So why not ask the pros who deal with these ingredients all the time and are used to the quality that we have at the market. To show folks how they can prepare them best.
Now, Mitchell, when I think of going to the farmer's market, I think of going over there and you have all the doors open and people just walk right in. If it's 25 degrees outside, that might not be quite as fun. Will the all the doors be open? Will this be different from the summer farmers market? Will the heat be on?
Yes. assuming that we remember to pay the electric bill, the heat will be on, and the gas bill, it will be on. And
if it's not comfortable, we'll have the doors closed.
Janie's going to make sure that folks have as pleasant a shopping experience as possible during this market season. I think it's going to be a good experience. It's going to be more of a festive atmosphere, I think, than what you have with the daily market during the summertime. I think it'll be good.
You go to other towns and things of that sort, especially tourism type towns, mm-hmm. and they have places where you go into and you think this is just a nice feel.
Yeah,
and you find nice little things that you didn't realize you needed so much, and then suddenly you had to have it. And this sounds like it's going to be that type of place where you can get items that not only can you enjoy right now, like the eggs and the meats and things of that sort, but things that would be phenomenal Christmas gifts.
Absolutely. There's some vendors are packaging some of their longer-lasting things, the kettle corn, canned goods, honey, and special packages just for gifts. We also have some vendors that will bring wood crafts. Just for this season, we don't mm-hmm. normally allow crafts in the market, but they're farmers or vendors that it helps support their business, and so we're allowing them to bring that for the holiday season.
This sounds like a wonderful event.
She's done a good job as far as putting this together and working with the vendors and getting things lined up. I think it's just going to be a real plus. It's going to be a great addition to the market.
Since our community is growing quite well, there are a lot of people who may have never been to the regular farmers market. They've never been to the Lane Agri Park, and they don't realize what a phenomenal facility we have there. You need to check it out. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a question. How can you get rid of moles?
How can you get rid of moles? Now,
yes.
That is a good question. Hold on, because Mitchell may have some questions for you.
Well, I don't have any questions for you, I don't guess. And I don't know that I have an answer that you're going to just jump up and down and shout for joy over either. Moles are, they're difficult to eradicate. And to be perfectly blunt about it, the surest way to know that you have controlled a mole is when you remove that mole's body from a trap. Otherwise, you don't know. You say, well, I don't see as much activity as I saw before, so therefore I must have done something to cause him to go away or to kill the mole or whatever. So, they are voracious feeders. They have a real high metabolism, so they've got to consume a lot of food during the course of a day. That means that since they do feed on primarily insects in the soil, a big portion of that diet will consist of grubs. If grubs are not available, then they'll eat earthworms as well as other insects, but they really go after grubs. That's kind of their first choice. In order to consume enough to meet their dietary needs, they're going to move a lot, and in the process of moving, they can create a lot of tunnel. We primarily have here the eastern mole. In the course of a day, 250 feet of tunnel is not uncommon for one mole to dig. As far as population rates, 2, 3, 4 moles per acre is kind of the norm on that. And those few moles can really create a lot of tunnel. So, come to the question of controlling them. Well, and there are different thoughts, different approaches on that. As I said, the surest way is to use a trap, because every mole you trap, then you know that mole has been controlled. Now, other approaches to it include reducing the food supply. That doesn't kill the mole. What it does, if they can't find something to eat somewhere, then just like any other animal, they tend to go somewhere else to look for it. So how do you control the food supply? Well, if the food supply is primarily grubs and other soil insects, then you use insecticides to try to reduce the populations of those critters in the ground. I'll be honest with you, right now is not a good time to do that, simply because the grubs tend to be fairly mature at this point compared to what they were earlier in the year, and many of the insecticides that are available do not work as well on the mature grubs as they do the younger grubs. you know, during times when the ground tends to get dry, they move deeper into the soil. When the soil is wet, they come up. So, you know, after a rain or after an irrigation period, they may be closer to the surface of the ground, and you may have a greater chance of getting the insecticide down to them. But again, if you're going to use an insecticide, now you need to use one that will be effective against the more mature sized grubs. An example of that is a product called Dilox. Okay, also the insecticides called Arena and Aloft can be effective against grubs as well. Another approach is to use the baited worms or the poisoned worms as a bait. Those kind of make sense because since moles eat worms and grubs, a product that mimics those does make sense. Again, you've got to place those in the tunnels, though, where the moles tend to actively travel each day. You can buy those different brands at your garden centers and home improvement stores that sell pest control products. Various brands, Tomcat, Hotshot, Talprid, those are all brands that are available. They all have the same kind of ingredients in them, but it's just they kind of mimic like an artificial fishing worm. But again, they have to be placed into the runs that are going to be active. The same way with a trap. You've got to take some time and determine where to put the trap to give the best best chance of controlling those. And there are different kinds of traps. I heard of a newer style trap, at least new to me, just the other day, that folks have had some real good success with, and they come in pairs. They're directional traps, and you set two together in the run, one going one direction, one going the other, and they've proven to be very successful. But as far as controlling moles, basically those are your options.
All righty. Thank you for calling, and thanks for your question. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're talking about lawns and gardens this morning. We're talking about some exciting things happening at the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service starting this Sunday. That's right, starting this Sunday, the Farmers Market's going to be having a special new event from 2 until 5 this Sunday and every Sunday up to right before Christmas. Stay with us. We'll be back. And if you're on the line, hold on. You're coming up next.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Good Neighbor Talk on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Was your car damaged by the recent hailstorm we had in Rutherford County? Windows busted out, dents all over your car? Ford of Murfreesboro can properly repair your car to make it look like new again. Ford of Murfreesboro works with your insurance company so you don't have that hassle. Simply drop off your car, get it repaired, and then pick it up. It's that easy at Ford of Murfreesboro. Ford of Murfreesboro, at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Hail damage repairs being done now at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Without the caregivers, there would be no way I could have survived this alone. I had gotten to the point where nothing made any difference.
Stay independent at home.
Being old is not a punishment. It's a very significant phase of life.
Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
Check out all the options you have before you make a decision.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Guys, happy to report we are accident-free along your secondaries. However, we do see a little bit of slower traffic right around Old Fort Parkway along I-24 westbound. Also, along 840, moving a little bit slower right around West Jefferson Pike and Sulphur Springs Road. Now, as you continue through Laverne, when you hit Old Hickory Boulevard, you'll start slowing down just a little bit. From there into the downtown area, you're going to be moving about 60 miles per hour. Happy to report, guys, we did get that wreck cleaned out of your way along I-24 right in front of Murfreesboro Pike. Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant has a brand new menu, voted the best Mexican restaurant since 1990. Stop in for lunch or dinner or see them online at LasPalmasMXRest.com. With traffic, I'm John Boyce for WGNS.
Thank you, John. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll have a chance for showers and thunderstorms today. A high near 61 with a southwest wind feeling breezy, gusting in the 30s. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feluger. Currently 57.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Get your good neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning, 893-1450. We have a listener waiting patiently on the phone. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell and Janie. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I would like to know the proper care of dogwood trees, and I also have one that's 3 years old that's peeling its bark, and I'm wondering if that means it's going to die or what I should do for it.
All righty. What about that dogwood tree?
Okay. Well, I mean, the proper care, obviously, it starts when you plant them. So you dig a good hole for the plant, and you get it started right to begin with. And, you know, the folks say, well, do I need to fertilize these trees or not? In all honesty, if you fertilize your lawn as just a regular fertilization program on a yearly basis, on an annual basis, as a rule, the trees get the majority of your nutritional needs are met through that lawn fertilization. If you do not, then it's not a bad idea to feed them, especially during those first few years. Now, a large tree, a more mature type tree, well established, I don't know that they necessarily benefit so much from supplemental fertilization. It doesn't hurt, I don't guess, but I don't know that it's all that necessary. But during those first few years of establishment, you mentioned you had a three-year-old or one that had been planted for 3 years. The month of November after we get through, after the tree is going to dormancy, any time from that later November through the early spring or the very late winter time is the recommended time to make those fertilizer applications. And we're talking about just a general purpose, a complete fertilizer. That's something that's going to have all three of the major nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. You know, you can use a triple 13 or triple 10. And it doesn't take a huge amount on a tree with a, you know, small dogwood with, say, a 3-inch diameter trunk down there. I mean, you're talking like a cup of fertilizer. Of a triple 13 fertilizer is adequate.
What do you just sprinkle it around?
Sprinkle it on top of the ground. Just move out from the base of the tree a little bit, and just try to go out to at least the edge of the drip line. That's you figure the furthest the point that the branches reach the furthest, and that's your drip line. Mm-hmm. Here I am. I'm spreading my arms out here so folks can see.
You're doing a good job.
Okay, but so get to keep that picture in your mind there. How far it reaches? How far the limbs reach out? Well, that's the extent of the drip line. Dogwoods can be bothered by insects. Dogwood borers or peach tree borers, etc., can attack dogwood trees. And very often you see bark peeling off, and that makes you, that's one thing I'm always going to look for, is the evidence of borer activity within the tree, because that is a symptom, mm-hmm. that bark peeling off down low on the trunk, because as they move between the bark and the cambium layer in there on that softwood, it'll cause some dieback of the bark and cause it to flake off and peel off. As a good maintenance practice, use of an insecticide applied to the soil around that tree on an annual basis is a good preventative practice against a lot of those insects that will feed on trees. And I'm not just talking about dogwood trees. This is almost any of those ornamental trees as well as shrubs. There are a lot of different brands, but what you're looking for is the ingredient imidacloprid. Trees or those products that contain that will say something about annual tree and shrub insect control or annual tree and shrub insect treatment, statements like that, because you can apply that product to the soil around the tree once it's systemic and the tree roots pick it up, they take it up into the tree, and then when things try to feed on the tree, they're going to ingest some of that insecticide, and that will help control those, and that's for the insects that suck like aphids and scale and things like that, as well as those that chew. It's effective against some of the borers, not against all of the borers.
Now, how often should you do this?
Once a year. It's an annual deal, yeah. But the tree needs to be growing. Now would not be a good time to do it because the thing's going into dormancy. When you would do it, though, is next spring when the thing starts to come out of dormancy and you start to see new leaves come out, that's when you apply it. You can purchase it in a granular form or a liquid form. The dose is based on the diameter of the tree trunk, and that's all explained on the label of the product. You do it once a year. Now, in this case where you've got bark that's peeling and splitting off, you might want to do an extra step, and that would be the application of permethrin insecticide to the trunk area.
Would you do that now?
Yeah, go ahead now. I would, and then next year you might do it four times and kind of look at it, say around the April 15th and Labor Day, and again around Memorial Day, and then again around April 15th, Tax Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day would be kind of a schedule to follow. That takes, by doing it on those dates, you take you cover a lot of the life cycles of many of those wood attacking or wood boring insects.
Okay. Does that help you out? I think you did.
I think I put her to sleep.
But those are good things to do, whether you're talking about dogwoods or
pruning. The trees need to be pruned. Well, I mean, they've been pruned. You know, we have forests full of them. They've never been pruned. So obviously they don't have to be pruned in order to live. But, to take on a certain shape maybe, or to not get in our way, to perform some tasks, or to maybe fit in a particular size space, then yeah, they need to be pruned in that regard. Pruning is not necessary in order for that tree to live. Now, we may have to prune it in order to meet some ideal that we have or some goal that we have. So pruning, big pruning cuts, major pruning, that should be done during the dormant time. And we may not hardly be there just yet, but we're almost there. Mm-hmm. You figure late November up through late February, early March is kind of the dormant time on these trees.
And once you reach the dormant season, is that when you pretty well don't do anything? You just, from that point on, you need to wait till spring.
Well, not pruning. You prune still? During the dormant time. For heavy pruning, you'd do that. And again, it depends on if you had certain pest problems, if you've had, scale insect issues, or if you've had mite problems. Use of a dormant oil during that dormant season can be effective at helping to break the life cycle on those things.
And I guess really they need to come over to the Ag Center and get, especially if it's, say, a fruit tree or something, where when you prune them, that structure needs to be done in a certain way. And when the leaves are on the tree, it's hard to tell.
Hard to see.
It really is.
It is.
And another type of tree that you might want to be pruning, since we're moving up to that season, is the tree that's in the electric lines, or, just about to get into them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see those either. It's hard to see a lot of things if it's full of leaves.
It is. A tree that has shed its leaves, you can see the limb structure better. You can see limbs that are trying to cross and rub one another. Limbs that are dead. Obviously, you can tell if they're dead if they have leaves on them. They're the ones that don't have any leaves. But you can just see more of the structure and kind of give a better idea of what to cut and what to leave.
Do you have pretty much a brochure with instructions on every type of tree that would grow around here?
We have as far as pruning is concerned, we have a pruning guide for woody ornamentals that covers both shrubs and trees, and it has directions for the most common types of pruning, be those restoration prunings where you've let one just totally get out of hand and go in there and how to rejuvenate that and how to reclaim it, as well as just a regular pruning to thin one or to maintain a given size or to encourage more branching, etc. We have a good publication like that, and actually it's available online too. You go to the online version, it's got nice color photographs on it that if I give you a copy, it's not going to be color because I don't print it in color. I don't have that capability. But also have one that corresponds to that for planting. It's called like Best Management Practices for Planting Woody Ornamentals, Best Management Practices for Pruning Woody Ornamentals. We've got a whole series of reference sheets, fact sheets on trees. I'm not going to, 40 or 50 of them that have to do with, trees for fall color, trees for screens and shrubs, trees to avoid, sewer-safe trees, diseases of trees, those funny growths you see on trees.
A little bit of everything. You have it all right
there. Yeah, it's a lot of it there. And again, and if it's, if it's raining and it's cold, you don't want to get out. And by all means, come see us. We love to visit with folks. By all means. But if you can't get out, and, if you live, say, at Milton, and you've got a burning question about, you need an example of a pruning technique or whatever, you don't want to come to town for that, and I don't blame you. If you've got access to the Internet, you can look it up right there at our UT Extension website.
They're there to help you.
Yeah.
And easy to find. They're on John Rice Boulevard.
315 John Rice Boulevard is our office location, come in Suite 101.
And that's next to Paws, just down from Sam's.
Yeah.
Gives you sort of a mental picture. We were talking about pruning, and it ran through my mind of shaping, really doing some artistic pruning.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s and 70s, and I guess it was Walt Disney that got this started with Disney World and what have you, bushes that were animals and elephants, things
and
like that.
And Disney characters.
Yeah, Disney characters. So, yeah. We had a lot of that in this area. Even the city of Murfreesboro was doing pruning of its bushes at the water treatment plant at that time. The water plant, there was one over on Broad across from where Alexander, it's not even Alexander Chevrolet anymore. It's Chevrolet of Murfreesboro.
Yeah. Used to be Jackson Road.
Yeah. It's across from that, and that's where the water place used to be, and their bushes were animals. And you'd go on down Murfreesboro Road, and some houses had bushes that were trimmed that way to look like some type of scene that they wanted to create. As you go around, is that a lost art? Do you run across anyone who's still doing that?
I'm not aware of any. I can't personally think of any here in Rutherford County, Murfreesboro area. Janie, have you?
Not in Murfreesboro. You do see some small topiaries, maybe in a garden shop or something. But
and
large
places,
botanical gardens, are where you really find them.
You might find that at Cheekwood. You may see it on the grounds at Opryland Hotel around that area.
So an artwork that has gone.
You've got to have some artistic skill, I would think. It's just like being a sculptor or a painter in order to do that. I guess it's not so much knowing what to cut, it's knowing what to leave sometimes.
Well, that's true.
I think some of the large botanical gardens in the southeast, you'll find that more and more. But you'll find a lot of that.
It's not just going to sit out in common landscapes.
No. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and planning.
You will see a lot of commercial, banks, for example, they will have some very elementary topiary on plants, say, near the entrance, where you'll have sectionalized. You may have three sections of growth, on the plant, and then you have bare space up and down the stem. You remember there was a house just across, I guess it was just across the Davidson County line as you're going down the Nashville Highway into Davidson County. It kind of set over on the right-hand side. And they had done that to these cedar trees out in the yard. And they were trimmed up like that into a they were in spherical shapes. You know, they were tall, but the foliage was cut into spheres, and they would have like three spheres on a given tree with big bare spaces in between them. And that was kind of neat. And maybe even had some vase-shaped cuts to them. But I noticed a few years ago that they had stopped doing that. Of course, they just grew back in a normal shape. But you've got to, in order to maintain those, it requires very, very intense maintenance, you know, to keep things cut out, to keep the shapes like you want them.
Maybe some people have some memories of things like that that they remember seeing, because it seems like we used to have a lot more of that, not just at businesses, but homes and things of that sort. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a fig tree. It went over last year and came back this year and had two little figs before the deer got them. And I just wondered how I should take care of them during the winter.
All right.
And you say they're fig trees?
Fig tree.
Okay. Well, you know, it's planted in the ground, correct? It's not in a planter that you can move back and forth, say, out of a garage to the outside, back and forth like that. You haven't planted in the ground, correct?
Yes, it's in the ground.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing about figs is it's not that uncommon for them to be killed in the wintertime, and they will grow back. You know, if you wanted to keep that from happening, you could try to protect it with a cover of some sort of natural fiber cover, not a plastic or a synthetic cover, but say, you know, a cotton quilt or a canvas, tarpaulin, things like that. But they tend to, it's very common for them to be frozen back and them to regrow each year. One thing you might do is to help protect the base of it is use a good layer of mulch. It could be even straw, just a good heavy layer of straw piled up around the base of the little fig tree, on up the stem a good bit would be a way to help protect it. But if it gets cold enough, very likely it will freeze back. But the good thing is they tend to grow back in the spring. And we also have a fact sheet on the fig trees there at the office, and it's also available online if someone wants to access it that way.
Okay, good luck on the fig trees.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
You have a nice day. Bye-bye. Nothing more delicious than a fresh fig right off the tree. I had that.
Figs are good.
They are very good. They're good.
Dried figs, I think, are very tasty. Probably not as good for you, though. They probably have extra.
Well, even off the tree, they're good, I think.
Oh, yeah. But I like those dried figs.
893-1450 is our phone number. If you have a question or a comment, give us a shout. 893-1450. We're going to take a look at the weather. We'll be back. If you're on the line, hold on. You are coming up next.
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Rutherford County's Place to Talk. WGNS AM/FM.
Stop by Southeastern Tire Service before you head off for your winter travels this year. We're a full-service repair facility, so we can get your car in tip-top condition before you head out. Also, from October 31st until November 28th, when you buy four Michelin tires, you'll get a $70 prepaid MasterCard through mail-in rebate. That's at Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto. Southeastern Tire Service, serving Murfreesboro and Rutherford County since 1950. Visit southeasterntireservice.net.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Weather Eye.
We'll have a chance for showers and thunderstorms today. A high near 61 with a southwest wind, feeling breezy, gusting in the 30s. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fallhuber. Currently 57.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated. We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens. We're also talking about that special new extension of the farmer's market that gets underway this Sunday and continues right up through the Christmas season every Sunday afternoon from 2 until 5. Now, since Christmas is on Sunday, I'm guessing you're going to stop at the Sunday before.
We didn't figure we'd have good attendance on Christmas Day, so we thought we'd go ahead and cut our losses at the 18th.
Okay. So be sure and circle that on your calendar, and why don't you start out with the fun this Sunday, 2 to 5. Homemade soap, eggs, meats, chestnuts, mistletoe. Yeah, who knows?
What? Plus a chance to win a dinner for two at the Five Seasons restaurant.
That's absolutely. Yeah.
That's worth the trip.
Yeah.
A chance to do that.
Live music, all of that. Mm. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bart. I have one question that I have an answer to about the moles.
Okay.
I want to ask, is the farmer's market out on by Sam's? Has it discontinued the regular one?
Yes. The end of October is the end of our regular season. So, A week from tomorrow was our last day.
Okay. Now, I have this book called Critter. Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. We're hearing you.
I have this book called Critter Ritter.
Uh-huh.
And it tells about how to get rid of, several ways to get rid of moles. And one of them, it says that moles do not like loud sounds. And it says to place a cheap transistor radio playing a hard rock into their domain, where you will never see them again. They will go to your neighbor's house. And then also it says, one of them, it says used kitty litter placed into the mole's tunnel will cause them to move on to your neighbor's house. So your neighbor's not going to like you too well.
Yeah, and they may bring used baby diapers over your ass. Yeah.
Another one says, I'm going to let this last one. It says place an ear of fresh corn painted with roofing tar in their tunnel. They hate the odor. And will end your mole problem.
Those are all to get them to go to the neighbors.
Yes, all of them will go to the neighbors. And one of them says, you drop a few X-Lax squares down their hole, you will never see them again.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
You
have a great day. Bye-bye. Interesting ideas there. Just send them packing on down the road. 893-1450 is our phone number.
I will say that we can neither confirm nor deny the accuracy of those methods.
But, you know, a lot of times these methods work. And you know, it's sort of like you can't confirm or deny planting grass when there's snow on the ground. But so many people have had good success with that.
Well, now, in a case like that, when you plant grass, you either have grass come up or you don't. So, yeah, you can pretty well see that, I think.
You either have grass come up or you don't.
It either comes up or it doesn't.
That happens.
And that happens anytime you plant grass. It's either going to come up or it won't. Anytime you put a seed in the ground, you've got a 50-50. There's only two things that can happen.
Are you a politician?
I am not.
He's diplomatic, isn't he?
It'll either work or it won't work.
You know, there's a gentleman down in Moore County, and he was a member of the county court down there when they were still squires and had the county court. And then when Metropolitan Lynchburg changed to a metro form of government, he was on the metro council. And for years and years, he'd served down there. And he never solicited to be placed on a ballot. You know, he never did a petition. He said, if folks want me there, then they'll... folks in the community put me on there, and they did it for years and years until he finally said he wouldn't serve anymore. They'd go out and get the petitions up to get his name on the ballot and so on. But I remember a statement he made one time on some topic, I don't know, it was controversial, and he was quoted in the paper there, the Moore County News, and he said, you know, some of the people are for it, some of the people are against it. He said, I'm for the people. I thought that was pretty good.
You can't get much more politically correct than that.
You covered the bases.
Yeah.
You covered the bases. Well, I tell you, Bart, this fall season, you know, November, and talking about planting grass, well, is it too late to plant grass? Well, yeah, probably. I mean, well, it's outside of that window that we would suggest that you plant grass. But it's certainly not too late to fertilize your cool season grasses, tall fescue and so on. Mm-hmm. If you're going to put a winterizer fertilizer down, November's a great time to do it. I would even suggest that you might consider using an organic type fertilizer. You know, it's that will help increase the soil microorganism population.
Now, when you say organic, ground, wouldn't it be farm fresh or something?
Well, no, not necessarily. That is derived from, say, animal waste material.
Do you buy that, or you?
Yeah,
just go?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You can buy it. And it's been processed. For instance, they'll use poultry litter as the primary nutrient source in that fertilizer. Or there are also some plant based. You know, it may be based on alfalfa meal, for example. But those, you know, they're not really high nutrient fertilizers in terms of their concentration. You know, they might be like a 9% nitrogen, some little bit of phosphorus, some little bit of potassium. But the good thing is not so much just the nutrients there, but the microbial benefits you get by increasing the soil microbe population in the ground's beneficial microbes.
Do you broadcast this?
You broadcast it.
You don't have to till it in.
That's just like any other fertilizer, and you'll find it at most garden centers are going to have some version of that. Of an organic fertilizer, they tend to be more expensive, and it takes more to cover, you know, a given area because they're not super concentrated material. But there are some benefits there, especially from the soil microbe standpoint.
So that's something that if you have the cool season grasses.
Yeah, the cool season grasses. Now, you know, because now would be a good time to make that final fertilizer application in the month of November. For your warm season stuff, you know, you can start next April. Coming out with your fertilizer on those.
Before we leave today, let's remind people again about what happens this Sunday right there at the Lane Agri Park. Janie, what is going on?
We are starting our new extended season of the Rutherford County Farmers Market, and there you will find lots of produce, other farm products such as eggs, meats, baked goods, kettle corn. You'll find locally made locally made chocolates and roasted coffees, some crafts, just a little bit of everything from our local producers, as well as music entertainment. The Master Gardeners will be there as always, answering questions about gardening and lawn and plant care, and just a good time for all.
Sounds like fun, and that is starting Sunday. 2 until 5, and you need to be there, and that's going on every Sunday up till January through 18th. December 18th,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so circle that on your calendars, and let's get together and have some fun. Live music there, all sorts of things. Janie Becker with us today, the manager of the Farmers Market, Mitchell Moat from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Thank you both for joining us.
It's been our pleasure, Bart. Thank you.
Y'all have a good day.
Yes, sir.
Stay with us. Much more to come on WGNS. Tomorrow at this time, Joseph Adelot with the City of Murfreesboro will be answering your questions. Have a great day.